Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Who do you say that Jesus is has been the question before us in each sermon this week. If your answer is not according to the truth revealed in the Scriptures, you are worshiping an idol. It may sound like a basic question, but it is not one you want to get wrong on this side of heaven. Let's listen and learn.
How can you correctly answer Jesus' question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Many professed Christians do not answer this question correctly as to who Jesus is, as evidenced by the fact they don't have any idea what the term Messiah means. They have no idea what the Greek word Christos, Christ, means. They have no idea what it means when the scriptures declare Jesus as God's promised Messiah. Number 17, many professed Christians do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, as evidenced by the fact that they don't know what the term Savior means. They have no idea what the term Savior means and from what Jesus is our Savior. They have no idea what Jesus has saved us from. Many professed Christians do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, as evidenced by the fact that they give little thought time to who Jesus is. But at the same time, they want you to know who they are. In other words, you know, we don't give much thought time to Jesus. And therefore, they will stumble and stammer when trying to explain the text we're in today, Matthew 16, 13 through 17. And they have a difficult time telling anybody who Jesus is accurately. But they want you to know who they are and why their group is a superior Christian group because of some non-essential doctrinal distinctives such as our music, our dress code, our style of worship, and other meaningless beliefs when positioned beside answering Jesus' question correctly, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Getting it right about Jesus is infinitely more important than your style of worship. It is infinitely more important than your music. We got drums, we got this, we got that. It is infinitely more important than you tearing up the carpet and cutting the step on Sunday morning on some song that's not even rooted and grounded in the word of the true and the living God. Somebody say amen today. Getting it right about Jesus when he asked the question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" It is much more important than your denominational title. It's much more important than your denominational extent, your denominational identification. It's much more important than how ornate our building is. And we don't have a church. We have a church. We have a campus now. And we no longer have a church. We have a campus with off-site campuses all over the place where we can teach the people absolutely nothing about Jesus. Many professed Christians cannot answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is because the question is parva questio. I took Latin, so I got to get some usage out of it. It's the Latin term for that's an unimportant question. They think what's really important is who the Pope is. I can tell you who this Pope is. He's a heretic. Somebody say amen today. You can't say that. The man is a heretic. He says everybody is good. The Bible says there's not one good. No, not even one. He says there are various ways to heaven. I think Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except it be through me." Acts 4:12. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Yeah. They can't answer the question because they're too concerned who their bishop is and who false apostle and prophet so-and-so is. Number 20. Many professed Christians cannot answer Jesus' question correctly because they do not come to church to learn who Jesus truly is, but they come to church to shout, cut up, hucking and bucking, during the so-called praise and worship service and go so-called buck wild for Jesus during the various 5 to 10 minute praise breaks that are more similar to how the pagans used to cut up in the pagan temples in the ancient city of Corinth, other than what we read in Psalm 105 or 1 through 5. Make a loud shout to Yahweh. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. It didn't say fall out on the ground, all the earth. Am I in the house today? It didn't say go to the church and get slayed and glued. It didn't say for you to get in and cut up and broad jump a pew. It didn't say to come up here and act like you're out of your mind. It didn't say get up in here and act like we're at the club, running all over the place, everybody doing their thing. He didn't say everybody coming here, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, when you gather together, everybody got a song, everybody got a prayer, everybody got a thing, everybody doing their thing. No, it said make a shout to the Lord. It didn't say all of the stuff we are seeing today. They are more concerned about that than knowing who Jesus really is. Many Democrats cannot answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is because to them, he's a paid-up member of the DNC. Somebody better say amen today. Amen. Many Republicans cannot answer the question correctly who Jesus is, as evidenced by the fact they think Jesus is a paid-up member of the RNC. Amen. Many political, social, and civil rights advocates cannot answer Jesus' question correctly, because they truly believe Jesus was merely or primarily a revolutionary who championed some civil right or some social agenda that's always their agenda. Isn't it amazing Jesus is always a revolutionary of their agenda as opposed to his agenda? That we read about in Matthew 8, 28, 18 through 20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you. It's always agenda other than that. It's a political agenda. It's a civil rights agenda. I'm telling you, folks, civil rights has ruined black America. It's messed up the so-called black church. We think church is about your rights. No, it's about you getting to heaven. Somebody say amen. It's not about all that. It's about missing hell and knowing Jesus and growing in the knowledge and grace of God. It's about living a sanctified life and being the salt of this earth and the light of this world. Jesus did not come for all this other stuff. He came to set you free from your sin. Because that's man's major issue that is at the root of every problem on this earth. Men don't treat other men right because of sin. Black folks hate white folks because of sin. White folks hate black folks because of sin. Eastern Europeans hate Western Europeans because of sin. Western Europeans hate Eastern Europeans because of sin. In the so-called motherland, everybody hates the pygmies because of sin. Somebody say amen today. They're at war with one another because of sin. The Hutus and the Watusis, whatever they were called, they had a war, killed about 1 million with machetes. They did all of that because of sin. And Christ came to die for that sin that is destroying the world. The church no longer preaches that message. Therefore, you see what we see in the world today. And I keep saying it. As long as I live, I'm going to say this. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yes. I could go on and on. I had some more, but I better stop there. With things similar to all that I just mentioned. But the fact is, Jesus is still asking his people the same question he asked his disciples in Matthew 16:13. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Or as it reads in the old King James Bible, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It is because of all the preceding, we must give ourselves to answering Jesus' question correctly in the next 2 to 3 sermons, I think. Look at verse 13. I got 12 minutes. Notice, now when Jesus came to the district at Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? You know, this verse contains more to the eye. This verse contains more than meets the eye of the casual reader. And I say this because of one word in this passage, the word asking. In the phrase, and Jesus was asking his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? First, the word asking, it's the Greek word, long e-ra-te. Long e and a long a, erate. It means more than just asking a simple question, such as, what time is it? And I say this because the word literally means to interrogate someone. Interrogate means to ask someone a question closely and aggressively. It literally means to examine someone closely and aggressively. In view of this, this was not some casual question asked by Jesus to his disciples. It was not a casual conversation between Jesus and the disciples. He was interrogating them. He was interrogating them strongly and intensely, asking them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus was literally giving them an oral examination and answering the question, who do people say the Son of Man is? This was an intense session indeed. The Greek word erote, it is also an imperfect verb. The Greek imperfect sense or tense, it conveys a past repeated action of something done over and over and over. Remember, Matthew is writing to an audience approximately 20 to 30 years after this event. Therefore, Matthew is conveying to his readers that when Jesus asked this question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He interrogated them, and he was asking them the same question over and over and over and over and over. He kept asking them, who are people saying the Son of Man is? Who are people saying that I, the Son of Man, am? It doesn't say how many times he asked them, but the Greek imperfect, he asked them this question over and over and over. And I can just see his disciples, why are you asking us this? Why you see him like that? Because that's how we are. Why Pastor Kendall keep talking about the same thing over and over and over? He already told us that. He already told us all these politicians need Jesus. Why is he telling that us again? Because you need to hear it again. Why he keep telling us a lot of these so-called high, charismatic, crazed, so-called praise and worship is pagan? Because you need to hear it, and it's pagan. Somebody say amen. Seriously, the witch doctor in the jungle falls out and rolls on the ground. The witch doctor dances around the fire, and I'm going to say something, and I'm not trying to offend you, sister, but it's always the case. The ones who go wild are the sisters. Somebody say amen, and I'll move on. It's, you know, he's always the sisters be, let me move on. We must ask ourselves why Jesus interrogated the disciples over and over and over with the question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? I think we can conclude the following based on Jesus asking this question over and over and over and really getting in their face, interrogating them. Number one, Jesus repeatedly interrogated these men over and over and over because he was asking them a question of grave importance, and therefore it must be answered correctly. As I stated in the rather lengthy introduction, answering this question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am, is of grave and eternal significance. And therefore Jesus asked him over and over and over and over, who do people say that the Son of Man is? There never has and never will be any other person who has lived, is living right now, and shall live, whose identity is of eternal significance. The difference between eternity in the presence of God or eternity in the torment of outer darkness, there's never been a person like this other than Jesus. It is good to know who Moses and Joshua were, but you can be ignorant of both. But if you get it right about Jesus and you receive him by faith, hey, listen, man, you're going, one day you're going to stand in peace before God the Father as far as your redemption is concerned. It is good to know who the major prophets in the Old Testament scriptures are, men such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, but one's eternal destiny is not dependent upon getting it right as to who they are, but your eternal destiny is right dependent upon getting it right about who Jesus is. It is good to know who the minor prophets in the Old Testament are, men such as Amos and Micah, but one's eternal destiny is not dependent on getting it right about either, but one's eternal destiny in heaven with God or in the torrent of outer darkness with Satan. It is dependent on getting it right about who Jesus is. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's good to know about Elijah and Elijah. But your eternity in the conscious presence of God is dependent on getting it right about who Jesus, the Son of Man, is. It's fantastic to know who the apostles are, men such as Peter and Paul, but one's eternal destiny is not dependent on getting the identity of Peter and Paul correct, but heaven and hell is dependent on getting it right about who Jesus, the Son of Man, is. I want to be clear here, because I know we hear stuff I'm not saying. I want to be clear. I do believe we need to get it right about the Old Testament prophets. I do believe we need to read what they teach. I do believe we need to read what they prophesy about the coming Messiah. I do believe we need to know who the apostles are, and I do believe we need to read the epistles, and I do believe we need to immerse ourselves in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in order that we grow in our knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, and in order that we grow in sanctification and the knowledge of God and the things of God. I do believe that, but one's eternal destiny is not dependent upon getting it right as to who they are, but of necessity, you must get it right about who Jesus is. He's the only man, the only person.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Understanding the Scriptures. Join us next week as Dr. Kinlow II continues to help us grow in our knowledge of God through sound exposition of the Scriptures.